Many people may have been surprised recently by the publication by the Catholic Pope of an encyclical on the environment. And many may be surprised to know that the Catholic Church here in Australia has an environmental agency known as Catholic Earth Care Australia. Earlier, I was joined by the National Director of Catholic Earth Care, Jackie Raymond, who was here in Adelaide for a conference, and by Philippa Rowland, who is the regional leader for the South Australia and Northern Territory National Energy Efficiency Network, which is run by Catholic Earth Care. I began by asking Jackie to describe what Earthcare does and how it started here in Australia.
In the 1990s, I think the church was going through a period of discernment about what the social justice issues were of the day, and some key work was done around women and leadership, and that started up a new office in the church called the Office of Participation for Women. And then in the late 90s, the conversation about environment kept coming up, and a discernment about how to respond to the ecological crises, really, that were being captured by scientists. And Pope John Paul II had been talking all throughout the 90s with scientists and kept raising the issue of how there needs to be a deeper commitment and care with humanity and the earth. So he called in 2001 for all humanity to undergo an ecological conversion. And this was picked up by the Australian Catholic bishops, who decided to start up an agency in 2002, sitting alongside the Australian Catholic Social Justice Council and Caritas Australia, which is the humanitarian development and aid agency globally. And so our agency received a mandate around, a very broad mandate around bringing about environmental education, building national networks, research from the perspective of scripture, Catholic social teaching and science, and being an advocate for the victims of environmental degradation.
And what did that mean in terms of work? What did you do to contact these groups of people and find out more?
So the first steps that were taken were to let the church know that this agency had been born. So there was a whole series of launches held around the country, and a resource was developed to help with that called the Garden Planet, which is about a 25-minute VHS back in the day that was sent to every Catholic school and parish in the country. And then following that, it was about focusing on key areas in Australia that needed advocacy and protection. The first one being a no-brainer, but amazingly we're still struggling to protect it, which is the Great Barrier Reef. So the Queensland bishops endorsed a statement about protecting the Great Barrier Reef in 2003. And in 2004, the focus was on the Murray-Darling Basin. And there are 11 bishops whose dioceses are part of that basin, and they all endorsed a key statement that wanted to enable the whole basin to be looked at holistically rather than through the eyes of the state-divided maps, and bringing a balance about in terms of irrigation, agriculture, community, and the ecosystem's values and needs for perpetuity. So that was a key moment, and that was launched at Echuca in 2004. And in 2005, the focus was on climate change, and an international conference was held in Canberra. And that was very significant. It was before Al Gore's film came out in 2006, An Inconvenient Truth. And it brought together people from around the globe, Vatican Observatory scientists, health epidemiologists, people from all walks of life to focus on what climate change really means. And we had a priest come out from Kiribati who spoke not only to the 300 delegates at the conference, but also to the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference the following week, to ask who would be their Good Samaritan as the sea levels rise and their country becomes inundated by the waters, but also the fresh water becomes salinated and so forth. So that was a really significant statement, and it continues to be the position of the Australian Catholic Bishops on climate change.
What has been the reaction from the broader clergy to your environmental agency?
I think in terms of clergy, there's been, as in all sectors, a very mixed response, ranging from those that are passionate and believe that this is really critical and something that they need to be acting in alignment with in their personal lives, but also speaking out about with their communities, to those that are totally not connected, not in the ballpark of their field of reference, and not something that is often thought about or considered to be core business, if you like, for a Christian. So there's been a major gulf between action and inaction, and also I'd say a lack of resourcing in this area to raise that profile and awareness and help people become involved.
And what about the broader Catholic community?
I think it's true of the broader Catholic community as well. They're, you know, in a way, the clergy are a microcosm of that macrocosm. And so we've always had those who are very passionate, whether they're already working in the field because they're scientists or on the land as farmers, people who care because they're thinking about their children and their future, to those that it's not even been part of their thinking or practice or way of being. So I think there's a huge diversity in the community around caring for the environment. And now that we have the Pope's encyclical, it really puts it front and centre for everyone, clergy, anyone who cares and walks around as a human being is pretty much been the target audience for Pope Francis.
What does the encyclical mean for your group?
I think it's really radical. It's quite epic because what it means is that to be a Christian today and to be a Catholic and to be a human being that is living consciously on this planet, we have a great responsibility in terms of caring for it. And that means going beyond our usual habits and self-satisfying ways to actually give back and enable the earth to flourish so that it can continue to be a place that nurtures all creatures, including humankind.
And is there a responsibility on the part of people within the Catholic Church and the Catholic movement to embrace what's in encyclical, or is it a point of discussion? How does that actually work?
An encyclical is something that has a great deal of weight because it comes from the head of the Church. The Pope himself has written and provided us with this letter that explains a new way of being and thinking about the earth. And that's not happened before. Encyclicals in the past have often focused on humankind's relationship with one another. It hasn't broadened out until this encyclical to look at the whole of the planet and what that means. So it is incredibly radical. It also is targeted to every human person on the planet, and that's never happened before. Usually encyclicals are for bishops and for clergy to spread the message. But this is written in the first person and it is clearly accessible and for everybody. It's been translated into, you know, over 15 languages, I think, so far. So it is truly accessible. And it's also a document that was launched not just by the Pope, but he chose for it to be launched by a scientist, and that's never happened before, and a theologian from another faith, from a Christian faith background, but from the Greek Orthodox tradition. And so he's calling for all the different faiths in many ways to respond. And I think we've already heard some great responses. In fact, on Sunday in Rome, there was a big convergence of youth from all different faiths saying thank you to Pope Francis for the encyclical. And about a month before, perhaps it was 2 months before the encyclical came out, there was a gathering of scientists through the Pontifical Academy of Science and the Pontifical Academy of Social Scientists together with faith leaders at the Vatican, where they had a conference. And again, it was a considered time to think about how faiths can respond to the ecological crisis and an encouragement for that to happen. So we're going to see more and more responses, I suspect, throughout the rest of this year and beyond.
Now, whether it's true or not, a lot of people think that science and religion are incompatible. Do you think that it surprised a lot of people when, for instance, you say that the encyclical was launched by a scientist, and obviously science has been used to inform the encyclical as it does inform the work that your agency does?
Yes, I think it's interesting that in some people's minds, faith and science are poles apart and they're pitted against each other. But actually, for me personally, and for so many people, they integrate fully, because science is about answering how the world works, how things operate. And that leads us to understand or start to question even more so why things are as they are. Faith leads us into the space of the why. Why are we here? Why does everything exist as it does? And what am I doing here? And I think they operate in a very harmonious way when you bring them together. They lead to one another. They point to each other as being important, because from science we can draw a whole lot of understanding about the way things work. And that leads to highlighting at this day and age clear ecological issues like biodiversity loss, climate change, deforestation, pollution to water, all sorts of issues is what the science draws and points us to. And faith then enables us to discern and reflect how we can respond in a way that's meaningful, because it really is about meaning making. And what significance the faith communities can give to this understanding of the ecological crisis today is incredibly powerful in terms of the number of people who are faith-filled people and can change in harmony with one another to affect a very great response that's hopeful and full of life. But also, I think the faith community has something unique to say in this space. And I think that's why it's a fascinating dialogue to be in an interfaith sense, but also across any group of people, because you're going to have diversity of belief and non-belief. And I think that's an incredibly insightful space from which we should be discerning how to respond rather than just leaping into action.
Do you think the encyclical and the work of agencies like yours, could that lead to a reassessment of how the Catholic Church in Australia and perhaps internationally invests its money?
Yes, I think in terms of divesting from fossil fuels, the case is made quite clearly without saying those exact words in the encyclical, because turning away from fossil fuels is said very clearly as a way of moving that's going to be positive for the planet and the people, and moving to renewables. And I think it makes real sense that where we put our investment and our money adds to an incentive for change if we put it in the right places, or if we keep it in places where it's not going to bring about the change, then we're not being responsible with our goods, our funding and our way of being. So we are called to change in every sense through this encyclical, and what we do with our money really matters, and consumer choices as well as institutional choices really matter. So the symbolic nature of divesting from fossil fuels is significant and something that's being called for from many different groups, including 350.org with Bill McKibben's great work, and it's something that the Catholic Church is looking at and will continue to do so.
You heard there Jackie Raymond, who is the National Director for Catholic Earth Care Australia, and Philippa Rowland, who is the National Energy Efficiency Network Regional Leader for South Australia and Northern Territory, a program run by Catholic Earth Care Australia. That was part one of an extended interview, and do listen next week to Barometer, where you can hear part two.